Hail and hot dog. I think this is number 49 of Jim Brown's Outrig Capercast. Welcome. I'm not sure just how much I've told you about the hybrid wing, a new sailing invention. I'll give you a short recap, but let me explain that I've just returned from my second visit to Bristol, Rhode Island, where I've had the chance to sail under this new invention, and that really is what this caper is all about. The story starts last March when I was down in the Florida Keys hanging out with my friend Bruce Matlack in Scrimshaw, my old 31-foot Sea Runner, now owned by Bruce, and I occasionally get a chance to go and sail in her after owning her for 40 years. It's quite something to be back aboard, particularly for an occasion like the finish of the Everglades Challenge Race. This is a 300-mile endurance grind that starts up near Tampa and skirts the southwestern tip of Florida coming down to the Keys. And the course is mostly in the open sea, but there are obligatory check-ins where one has to go up into the Everglades, which somewhat complicates the challenge, and it also limits the size of the boats because they have to be able to traverse very shallow water and be human-powered in some way, because up in there are places where there's no wind and one can't sail. Now this year, 2017, turned out to be the roughest weather year they'd ever had for the Everglades Challenge. And in fact, it was so snotty that they postponed the start by a day and moved the starting line some 70 miles south to more protected water. But the forecast for the next day was no better, and one of the competitors, Randy Smythe, decided to start at the original point and sail a course some 70 miles longer than all of his competitors. Now this is no surprise really, because Randy is one of the world's great sailors. He was recently inducted into the Sailing Hall of Fame. He's had a wide variety of wins and a very wide variety of boats and courses. And the boat that he sails in the challenge is a very unique 20-foot, 200-pound trimaran that sort of looks like a collection of pickup sticks made into a pantograph. The boat is extremely fast, and Randy usually starts with the group and leaves the group promptly, sails away from the fleet, and from then on it's just him and the clock. But this time he had the opportunity to sail through the fleet the next day because he had started 70 miles behind. Well, we were down there at Key Largo at the finish line, and we heard that he was going to be coming in one morning. So we went down to the little beachfront at the old Pelican Motel where the finish line is. And sure enough, even I could see there was a boat approaching, so I took my little voice recorder and waded out sort of up to my crotch in the mud, the very gushy bottom. This whole coast is apparently silted in by stuff that comes out of the sugarcane fields in the Everglades. Now, I knew Randy Smythe, and I had seen his boat before, but as it came sliding past me, I realized that it didn't have its usual sailing rig. There was something else sticking up there, something that I had never seen before. So after congratulating him on his first to finish, I asked him, "Hey, Randy, what's that new contraption sticking up from your old contraption?" Well, the old contraption would be Scissors, his boat, and the new contraption would be the hybrid wing sail. And at breakfast the next morning aboard Scrimshaw with us, he was able to tell us about it. Now, rigid wing sailing rigs have been around for quite a while. Apparently, the technology started in ice boats, then moved into small class catamarans, and finally the Little America's Cup. And with time, of course, into the Big America's Cup. And the reason for the rigid wing is that it offers a nominal 20% improvement in performance of the boat. It's an enormous advance. And when combined with hydrofoils, such as in the recent America's Cup contests, It explains in large part why these vessels are able to sail at, you know, something like 50 miles an hour. But the trouble with them, up until the hybrid wing, the trouble with rigid wings has been that they cannot be left standing on the boat and unattended. The rigging that holds them up allows the vessel to sail into the wind and to reach, but it will not take wind from behind, because the wing tries to rotate in order to utilize wind from behind, or in order to weather vane up into the wind so as to turn the power off. That cannot happen with the usual wing sail because it conflicts with the rigging. The usual shrouds and stays of the so-called three-wire rig will not permit the rigid wing to rotate 360 degrees, and so when the boats are not sailing, the wing has to be taken down. If you tie the boat up at the dock, headed into the wind, and during the night the wind changes, all of a sudden the boat's trying to sail away with the dock and all. So the wings have to come down except when they're being used, and they either store them in a warehouse or they haul out the boat and capsize it on land and secure the top of the wing to a tie down. So of course this makes the rigid wing hopelessly impractical for general use. No one is ever going to put one on a recreational boat. And so Randy Smythe decided it was time to do something about that. He makes his living as a sail designer, so of course he's very much aware of the marvelous new materials available for sail making and for mast making. The carbon fiber mast has just made an enormous improvement in sailing rigs because it's so much lighter for its strength than is aluminum. Now, Randy is friends with a guy named Tommy Gonzalez, who we will hear more about here. He's primarily a sailor, the skipper of a big gunboat catamaran. And that boat spends its winters in the Caribbean, so Tommy has a place to live there in the Virgin Islands. And about 3 years ago, Randy was down there racing, and he and Tommy got together, put their heads together, and realized that with the enormous structural capabilities of carbon fiber, they could design a rigid wing that would withstand the additional stress of being stayed by its rigging only at the top. And if they made this wing very narrow, that is sort of the profile of a giant wing feather, and stayed it with the usual three-wire rig only from the very top at a rotating bearing at the top, that meant that this rigid wing would rotate 360 degrees inside of its rigging. And that meant that you could leave it up. That is, you could tie your boat up at a dock or anchor it, or even when sailing it in something like a gale, you could let the wing weather vane into the wind and shut off its power, no matter which way the wind was blowing over the boat. Now, the trouble with sailing under a feather is that it has very little sail area relative to a bird's wing that has lots of feathers, and relative to the usual sailing rigid wing rig, which has elements, that is, besides the wing portion itself, there are controllable flaps or extensions on the trailing edge of the wing in order to make it resemble the wing of an aircraft, but with, let's say, ailerons or flaps on the trailing edge. So Randy and Tommy, I'm not sure which one, decided that the way to solve the area problem, the way to increase the sail area of a narrow rigid wing, was with a soft element, a modern blade-shaped sail that could be hoisted in a sail track up the trailing edge of the rigid portion of the wing. So that's where the hybrid comes in. It's a rigid wing with a soft element that can be hoisted and lowered, and it can be reefed, that is, when hoisted only about two-thirds of the way. This hybrid is suitable for strong winds, and when removed all the way, Randy learned in this Everglades challenge that with the soft element removed all the way, the rigid portion of the wing alone was a marvelous instrument for sailing in very strong winds. As he told us over breakfast in Scrimshaw's stern castle the morning after finishing the race, that at one point he saw a big thunderhead storm rolling down on him and the thing had three funnel clouds hanging from it. He knew he was going to get hammered. Now, of course, the rigid wing will also carry head sails, the usual selection of jibs. And when this thing was bearing down on him, he got all the soft sail off of the boat, the jib and the soft element of the wing. He said there would not have been time to reef an ordinary rig. And as it came on, the gusts coming out of those funnel clouds, he didn't know whether they were going to be just water spouts or tornadoes, but he managed to sail through that turbulence, hammering gusts, by feathering the wing just enough to give the boat enough drive so that he could keep it under control. The gusts came from all directions. He was able to trim the wing quickly to contend with the wind force second by second and keep his little trimaran moving along just enough so that the rudder gave the boat directional control. And you know, usually in a hard squall like that, there's a lot of noise. You've got leeches flogging and the rig moaning, you know, the mast up there just moaning in the wind, sometimes even screaming. But with the wing, he said it was quiet and secure. It gave him great confidence of contending with very heavy weather, where indeed he could let the wing weathercock completely and totally turn off the power and have up into the wind a rig that has less drag than most other sailing rigs. And Randy also told us that this was 2-year-old technology. He and Tommy had been keeping this thing under wraps for 2 years until their patent came through. And so this race, the Everglades Challenge 2017, was the first public exposure of the hybrid wing sail. Well, at this point, I became very interested in the thing, of course. And the next day, after breakfast, we went back down to the beach to greet many of the other finishers, including Meade Goujon, who had seen the rig at the start. And he said, quote, "That's the greatest advance in sailing in 100 years. And just that much corroboration was enough for me, man. I had to really find out about this thing. So while talking with Randy and Tommy Gonzalez, I learned that Tommy has put together a company up in Bristol, Rhode Island, for the express purpose of utilizing the hybrid wing sail together with hydrofoils. He calls his outfit Fast Forward Composites. And they explained that they'd been rather secretive about what they were doing until the patent came through. But now they invited me to come up to Bristol, have a look around, and help them let the cat out of the bag. So that's what I'm doing with this podcast, and that's also I'm writing it up for Professional Boat Builder magazine. Eventually, we'll be able to link you to pictures and video and the whole shebang. I've mentioned before my friend Scott Brown, who is actually the co-founder with me of the Outrig project that's bringing you all of this. Scott is a cinematographer from Toronto, Canada. And when I told him what was going on, we managed to arrange to go down to Bristol together at the same time to see what was going on. A whole lot is going on, too much for this podcast, but we've been to Bristol twice, the second time just recently, to actually sail underneath a hybrid wing, and that's what I want to tell you about in this podcast. The trouble is there are actually 5 boats involved in this story. The first, of course, is Randy's little Scissors, the trimaran rigged with the original hybrid wing prototype for the Everglades Challenge. The next, at Tommy's huge facility there in Bristol, Rhode Island, is a 27-foot stiletto catamaran that's rigged for hydrofoil research. The thing is peppered with instruments and allows for extensive tweaking of the hydrofoils while underway. Then there's the boat they call Caliente. It's an old Formula 40 racing catamaran. It looks like a 40-foot giant beach cat. It is rigged with the second hybrid wing prototype, a 62-foot rigid wing. And that's the boat that Scott and I have recently sailed in. And the fourth boat is a 53-foot racing weekending catamaran, all carbon fiber, under construction in the shop. And this one is to include the results of the research program into hydrofoils and into hybrid wings. That boat is being built for financier Donald Sussman. He runs a hedge fund, and he's put up the money and the idea that it was his desire for a hydrofoiling vessel rigged with a practical wing sail that has made all of this happen. Other than that, Mr. Sussman says that he has contributed nothing, that the rest of it is all up to Tommy and what Tommy calls his mosaic design team that he has put together to pull this whole thing off. And this team is really something, incidentally. The 53-footer is designed by the famous Paul Beaker and his partner Eric Jolly in Seattle. Then, of course, as test pilot, they have Randy Smythe, one of the greatest sailors in the world. The head builder is one Wolfgang Chamberlain, a man with vast experience in composite boat building, and he has put together a real team of what I call maestro composite boatwrights. Their hydrofoil specialist is Manuel Armenianzas, who has been working with the America's Cup hydrofoils for years. They have a full-blown naval architect on the shop floor, Mr. Andres Suar, who also has a vast background in this type of vessel. Now, of course, there are some serious challenges involved in trying to pull off technology, sailing technology on this level. But apparently there's nothing more daunting than what was faced by the early aviators. And if anybody can pull this caper off, boy, it's going to be Tommy Gonzalez and his Fast Forward Composites group. And now the fifth boat in the story is a 90-foot catamaran, the biggest of the gunboat catamaran series, that's owned by Donald Sussman. And after sailing in the Caliente with the hybrid wing, we also were invited to spend a day on Sunshine, the big gunboat, and comparing these two with the notion of a combination is what I'd like to explain now, if indeed I can. First of all, the performance of the Caliente is something I've never experienced before, either with or without the hybrid wing. Sailing with the winds in the mid to upper teens, close hauled to windward, with the full sail soft element but no jib, and no hydrofoils, this boat is not foil equipped. She will do 14 knots, close hauled to windward at very tight angles. Then, reaching with the jib and the full wing, she lopes along easily at speeds in the mid to upper 20s. And in stronger gusts, she exceeds 30 knots with complete control. Now, I had never experienced performance like that, but apparently it's not all that unusual. Tommy says he has sailed the same boat with her standard racing rig with somewhat diminished results. So we must conclude that the hybrid wing definitely works at that size, even though she is experiencing the expected teething problems. Besides having to reshape the soft element a time or two, it was quite a challenge in this prototype to get that thing up and down. It's not like with a regular rig where you can just leave the mainsail on the boom and hoist it. In this rig, the soft element has to be completely detached from the wing in order to allow the wing to rotate fully 360 degrees. Now that detach-attach challenge is something that almost certainly can be worked out to advantage, but it may involve tactics and equipment that have not yet been seen on boats. Now, of more interest to me than the nuts and bolts were the sights and sounds of sailing under the hybrid wing. I find the simple looks of the thing to be deeply moving in an almost evolutionary way. More than any other sailing rig, to me it just looks natural. It looks like a giant wing feather. Actually, two feathers, one from each wing of the giant bird, and this handed pair is put together with the hollow sides facing in and grown that way. And sticking straight up from the ocean, it really looks like an aerodorsal, the sort of thing that Darwin would have found on a creature that was evolved over eons for extracting its motive power from the relative movements of the atmosphere across the hydrosphere. Now, of course, a bird doesn't fly on one wing feather only. There are many other feathers on the wing, and so when the soft element is hoisted, it looks like and acts like the other ancillary feathers in a soaring bird's wing. Very high aspect ratio, but unlike with a bird, this wing has to take the air over both sides, that it has to be symmetrical, the same amount of curvature over the forefoil on both the upwind and the downwind side, and then when the vessel tacks, the ancillary feathers have to be trimmed in the opposite direction, and that's exactly what the hybrid wing does in its cooperation between the rigid portion and the soft element. Looking up from the leeward side of this amazing airfoil, one can see that the curvature from the very leading edge across the rigid portion of the foil and onto the soft element is one continuous, very clean curve. It looks just like the top of an airplane wing, absolutely polished. And yet, unlike the bird or the aircraft, this thing has to tack and accept the wind from its other side. And when that happens, it changes its asymmetry exactly, still clean and polished. I found it to be very beautiful. And furthermore, it talks. Or rather, it sings. Both the wing and the boat are tearing through their respective fluids. The boat going through the water we'll call the bass notes, but if you listen up, you can hear the wing actually belting out an almost angry hymn. It praises humankind for finally figuring out that God never really made a sailing creature. He left that up to us, and it wishes us good luck, fair winds, in our puny approach to the divine. Well, okay, that really pegs me as a boat nut, and so I'll stop here for now, but I do intend to tell a lot more about this technology if they can really combine the wing with the boat, with the foils, and with an automatic flight control system for the foils. I think what we're looking at here is, well, after 60 years of observing multi-hulls, I think what we've got here is something that is historically significant. I believe this technology is going to be with us for a long time to come. Okay, until next time, have a great summer. Go sailing. Bye-bye.